Being King James only believes it, that we basically believe that that's the only English version of the Bible that we use, and that we believe it's perfect and without error. We don't negate the actual Greek and Hebrew of the originals. We believe they're both perfect, and so the King James Bible is the only Bible that we read and that we preach from. And so when I think of King James only, I think of people that believe that we have a perfect Bible in English without error, and that you don't need to go back to the Greek or Hebrew to know what the Bible says. And so and we reject all the new versions of the Bible in English. And so all the new versions have errors, or they're either translated wrong or they're coming from a corrupt text. So
Yeah, exactly. Because, there are two issues at play here. There's the textual issue, and then there's the translation issue. Of
right.
course, the King James Bible is from the traditional text of Scripture, the received text, that which has been used for centuries. And then you've got the critical text, which is a newer text. It's constantly changing. It was brought out first in the 1800s. And it's supposedly based on older and better manuscripts. But of course, the so-called older and better manuscripts that the critical text is based on are manuscripts that were in disuse. So you have millions of Christians using the traditional text, and then all of a sudden you find in a monastery in Egypt, Sinaiticus, and you find Vaticanus. I wonder where they found that, right? Vaticanus. And these were texts that had fallen out of use because they're wrong, because they're garbage, because they are not the text that God preserved. And the new versions are based on these wrong texts. And it's not just, of course, those two, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. It's also all kinds of other archaeological findings that they found throughout the 1800s and 1900s. But to me, this issue of the text behind the King James Bible is just a really simple issue, because either God preserved his word or he didn't. Either God preserved his word or he allowed the true word of God to be hidden and concealed until the 1800s or even the 1900s. I mean, isn't that absurd to think that the correct Bible was just discovered in the 20th century?
And that would go against scripture. You think of Psalm 12, where it says that he'll preserve his words from this generation forever. It says, thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so, I mean, that there has to be an unbroken chain of God's word and for that to be true. And that's what would have to happen if the critical text supersedes the received text, or what we'd call the textus receptus. Then you'd have to say that there was this broken chain of having the word of God. And so we don't believe that. That's why we hold to the textus receptus. And that's a big issue, because that's the New Testament, and that's where a lot of the questions come in, as far as when you're dealing with these critical text people. But it's interesting, and I don't know how far you want to get into it, but how they use the Septuagint when it comes to the Old Testament, and the fact that they deviate from the Hebrew, because there's not really that much of a, I mean, I'm sure there is an argument on like Hebrew text, to a certain extent, but that's pretty,
There's almost no issue with the Hebrew text. Like, the Hebrew text is settled. The Hebrew text is a settled traditional Hebrew text. It's that they're not using the Hebrew text and they're translating instead from the Greek Septuagint. So it's a translation of a translation. And the Greek Septuagint has all kinds of problems. And so, and by the way, if the Septuagint's so wonderful, how come the modern versions don't translate the whole Old Testament from it? Because it would be so messed up that no one would buy it. So therefore, they mainly use the Hebrew Masoretic text, but then in certain places, they'll deviate from the original Hebrew because they believe that the Hebrew is corrupt. They believe that God did not preserve the Hebrew Old Testament. So they have to go with the Septuagint to somehow make repairs in certain places.
I've been reading part of the Septuagint, or I've been reading some of the Septuagint, just to kind of see, well, first of all, to get vocabulary, you know, because it is, you know, obviously an older writing in Greek, but it's definitely interesting, you know, the places where we usually go to in the Old Testament to show like the perversion of the new versions. I purposely am like, okay, I wonder if that's how it says in the Septuagint, and like 9 times out of 10, like they're pulling it from the Septuagint.
That's where the corruption's coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
From the Septuagint.
Right.
Yeah, and it's fun. I just read the book of Job in the Septuagint, and literally there are hundreds of lines, not hundreds of words, hundreds of lines of the book of Job that are completely missing in the Septuagint, just gone. And so that's what I'm saying. If you actually translated the Septuagint Old Testament into English, people would freak out because it would be such a mutilated Old Testament.
The same thing with the New Testament, you know, with the critical text, because they're missing like whole chapter, you know, like they're missing like half of Mark 16 and just other places as well.
Yeah. And what's funny is that the all these people who are giving us the NIV, the ESV, none of them believes that Mark 16, 9 through 20 is original. None of them believes that John 7, 53 through 8, 11 is original. But yet they print it anyway, because they know that if they don't print the Bible with the story of the woman taken in adultery, nobody will buy it. If they print a Bible that stops in Mark 16, 8, nobody will buy it. So they're hypocrites because they print things in the ESV and NIV that they don't believe in. And that's why you have preachers like John MacArthur, John Piper, James White, getting up and saying, oh, Mark 16, 9 through 20 is not scripture. And John 7, 53 to 8, 11 is not scripture. But it's printed in every Bible.
Right.
Because they want to sell it. Because God's people know that those are part of the Bible, that those scriptures need to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Septuagint is even way more mutilated. Like I said, I mean, half the story of David and Goliath's gone in the Septuagint. You got Methuselah living 100 years after the flood, so he's basically treading water, you know, through the global flood, and he's still alive, even though he's not on the ark. You've got, you know, half the David and Goliath story gone. Hundreds of lines from the book of Job are removed. I mean, it's just the book of Judges has dramatic differences. It's just, it goes on and on.
I think I read part of Job, at least the first two chapters. Does it not say, and it's been a little while since I read it, but does it not say angels instead of sons of God in the Septuagint?
Yes. Oh yeah, that's where that comes from too.
And that's that because I remember reading through that, I'm like, no, that's where they get it, you know, because it's obviously not in the Hebrew. So
yeah, basically in the New Testament, the corruption of the New Testament text comes from the Alexandrian manuscripts of the New Testament. And then the Old Testament corruption comes from the Septuagint and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so those are the two bad guys. So there's the textual issue, but then there's also a translation issue, because you have some other versions. Because people say like, well, you know, why are you King James only? Why don't you just be Textus Receptus only? But here's the problem with that. If you look at the modern versions that are translated from the Textus Receptus, you pretty much got the New King James, and you've got the MEV, or the Modern English Version. But if you look at those two versions, they're filled with all the same garbage as the NIV or the ESV, just bad translations. Like I just made a video like a week ago about how they take the Greek word dysidemonia, which literally means being terrified of demons or dreading demons. And they literally translate that as very religious, when the King James Bible correctly translates it as superstitious, too superstitious.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the actual word is dysidemonasteros,
but
comes from dysidemonia, which is, you know, superstition, the noun.
Right.
So basically, you know, so Paul, when he's talking about being scared of demons, oh, you're so religious. You're so scared of demons. That's so wonderful. Because, oh, you made this altar to one unknown God in case you missed one. That's like the definition of superstition. Like, right. Oh, I'm so scared that I missed a God. I better just make an extra altar just to cover it. And that's the kind of junk you're going to find in the New King James and the MEV.
Even in modern Greek, that's the word for superstition. You know, that hasn't, you know, I mean, if you were just to look it up on Google Translate, you know, that's what it is. But even the word for religious, you know, in James 1 is what the modern Greek word would be for, I think it's threskos, if I'm saying that right, but...